Now, you please turn back to the passage that we read from Exodus, Exodus chapter 16, which is on page 38. Exodus chapter 16. Let's pray again as you come to God's word. We thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you that you speak to us through it by your Spirit. And we pray this evening that we will all have ears to hear what you are saying to us. And by the same Holy Spirit, give us hearts to be obedient. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, there's once a man who was learning to fly. One day, as he was flying, his instructor told him that he was to put the plane into a steep and extended dive. The man was totally unprepared for what was about to happen, because what happened after a little while, the engine stalled and the plane began to plunge. It was out of control. But what amazed this man was this. He was learning to fly, but his instructor did not help him at all. After a few seconds, those few seconds seemed like an eternity, as you can imagine, he began to think clearly again and quickly corrected the instruction. So he turned to the instructor and said, "Why didn't you help me? I was struggling there." The instructor very calmly said this: "There is no position you can get this aeroplane into that I cannot get you out of. If you want to learn to fly, go up there and do that again." The instructor wanted him to learn to trust him. And as things became difficult, he still wanted the instructor to trust him, because he said, "There is no position I can't get you out of." As we go through our lives, when things get tough, God speaks into the situation and provides help. Sometimes it is very much like being there with the instructor, and the instructor doesn't seem to be doing anything, and God doesn't seem to be doing anything. And yet, as we trust God, we know that his help will come. We know that his help will be there. Now, we read in Exodus 16 that God's people were in the desert. It was really hot and really dry. The end of chapter 15, we read about the way that God provided water for them to drink. And then at the end of chapter 15, we read that they came to Elim and camped, and there was plenty of good water to drink. So they were quite content to stay there. But of course, the thing was, they weren't to stay there. The point was, they were to be moving, because they were to be going to the land that God had promised them. They weren't to stay at Elim forever. And so off they went. They journeyed for Elim. And no sooner they left Elim than they came to another desert, which here is called the desert of Sin. Now, let's be clear about that. This desert of Sin here had nothing at all to do with it being a morally bad place, because sin comes from the Hebrew word spelt T-S-I-N, pronounced sin. And that's simply the name of this region. They'd left Egypt about 6 weeks before this, and here they were in the desert, very hot and dry. And what did the people do in this desert when they were hot and dry? Well, maybe you can guess what they did. the people grumbled. They grumbled before. They grumbled again. Verse 2. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. And what did they say? They said, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat round pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you've brought us out into the desert to starve this entire assembly to death. Isn't that amazing? It was only 6 weeks before they had been in Egypt. They're being really badly treated by the Egyptians. And now, here they were, saying they wanted to go back to that. Suddenly, in their minds, they believed that everything in Egypt had been wonderful. Now, of course, as we know, things weren't wonderful in Egypt. That's why they had to go. But before we go any further, there's something for us to remember here as well, because it's very easy, isn't it, for us to have short memories. Well, we're in a tough situation. We can be inclined to think that things before, no matter how bad they were, cannot possibly be as bad as they are now. And that may well be true. Yes, the people here were facing starvation because they didn't have food to eat. But just because things were bad in the desert was no reason for them to go back to Egypt. And we need to remember that as well. As Christians, we go through tough times, don't we? We go through difficulties. It's part and parcel of being a Christian. And it may well be that after we become Christians, things are tougher than they were before. But that doesn't mean that we should suddenly start saying, oh, I want to go back to the way things were before I became a Christian. It's not like that. Because, of course, it was not better before, was it? Before we came to know the Lord, things were not better because we weren't in a right relationship with Him then. And so, when tough things happen, instead of looking back and saying things are so much better before, we trust God at the present for what He's going to do. Now, the people here weren't prepared to do that. They had forgotten all that God had done for them. They had forgotten about the way that He'd rescued them from Egypt. They had forgotten how He'd taken them safely across the Red Sea. They had forgotten how very recently He had provided water for them to drink. They should have known that if God can do all that, then surely He could provide food for them here in the desert of sin. But instead of trusting Him, the people grumbled and complained. And so the challenge for us is this. In the situations we find ourselves, in the tough situations, we need to trust God. And we need to remember what He has done to bring us into a relationship with Him. We need to remember all He's done for us in Jesus. How good He's been to us. And also, we need to remember how He has provided for us in the past. And when we do that, we can come to Him and say, Lord, I thank You that even in this tough situation, even in what I'm going through at the moment, You will provide for me. And so let's not be like the people who grumbled. Let's trust the Lord. And so the people grumbled. But the second thing is this. God responded to their grumblings. In fact, God was very gracious in the way that He responded. He didn't say, don't you dare complain. Look what happened after they grumbled. Verse 4, the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. Yes, God remained faithful. God provided for his people. And even though their attitude was wrong, he was still gracious and he still provided for them. Now, usually, something we find when God provides for us, it is something that we have to do. And the people had to go out each day and gather the food for the day. And God did that very deliberately. When God provided, he gave them something to do. And the reason for that was because he wanted them to be following his instructions. They wanted him. He wanted them to be obedient to him. And that's the way God works. He gives instructions and he wants people to obey them. Not because God is some sort of tyrant who is power crazed, but because of his relationship with them. Just think about this. In relationships, if you really, really love somebody, you will want to do what they say to please them. And if we are in relationship with God today, we will want to do what he says to please him. Remember the words of Jesus, John 14:23, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them and we will come to them and make our home with them. So can I ask you, do you have a heart to obey God? Do you desire to obey his teaching? Because it really is a contradiction to say, oh, I'm following Jesus. Yes, I'm trusting Jesus. If you are not prepared to live in a way that pleases him. We have his word, don't we? We have the Bible. And this is all about what God wants for us. And we need to look and study and find out what does God want us to do. Yes, God will provide for us. But there are still things that he wants us to do. And so here, God gives very particular instructions about collecting food. First of all, they were to collect it on 6 days, and on the sixth day, they were to gather twice as much for the Sabbath as well. Verse 5, on the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days. And in fact, some of them decided they wouldn't do that, and so they would try to go out on the Sabbath. But when they went out on the Sabbath to look for food, there was none. Verse 27 tells us, nevertheless, some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather it, but they found none. But God did that very deliberately. There was a principle that he was trying to teach his people here. The principle of Sabbath. The principle of one day's rest in seven. Now, at that time, very specifically, it was the seventh day that was the day of rest. There was to be no work on that day, and not only the collecting of food. Not even that was allowed on the seventh day. That's why they had to collect two lots on the sixth day. And the question is, how does that apply to us today? I think it's fair to say that even genuine Christians are not completely agreed on that. Do you know there are still a few who think that the Sabbath should be the seventh day, that we should be meeting on a Saturday? But most Christians now meet together for worship on what is the first day of the week, Sunday. And the reason that we meet on that day is because it is the day that Jesus rose from the dead. Now, what you do with that day, of course, is a matter of a lot of discussion. I remember growing up, Sunday was a very different day from every other day of the week. We didn't watch TV at all. Television didn't even go on a Sunday. We spent most of the day at various meetings in church. When I was growing up, I wasn't allowed to go out and play with friends. It was the Lord's Day, all 24 hours of it. Now, It has to be said, doesn't it? There is less of that nowadays, isn't there? Although there are some that still regard Sunday in that way. I have to be honest and say, I think maybe my attitude has now become slightly less rigid. But as I said, it is something that Christians disagree about. But what I would say is this. Whenever we think of the day of Sunday, we still need to incorporate that principle of rest, a break from the week, into our lives. I mean, people like myself who work on a Sunday, and incidentally, I don't only work on a Sunday, that's what people think, but I need to then take my Sabbath rest on another day in the week. But for all of us, that rhythm of one day in seven is so important. Make sure that you take a day of Sabbath rest. So Sabbath, that was the instruction from the Lord here. So they were to remember that. Collect twice as much on the sixth day so they could take Sabbath rest on the seventh. But another principle was that they should not be greedy. That they should only take what they needed to eat. Verse 16 of chapter 16. This is what the Lord has commanded. Everyone is to gather as much as they need. Take an omer for each person you have in your tent. Now, God wasn't being mean to his people. He provided them with plenty. Verse 12 tells us, I have heard the grumbling of the people. At twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Plenty of food. It wasn't just as if God was only giving them a tiny amount. God was giving them more than a little snack. Enough to satisfy their hunger. But he did not want them to be greedy and take more than they needed. Once again, he wanted them to be obedient to what he said. And verse 17 tells us, the Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much, some little. And when they measured it by the omer, the one who carried much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little. Everyone had gathered just as much as they need. And those who did gather more than they needed and thought they could have extra for the day were disappointed. Verse 20. Some of them paid no attention and kept some of it till morning, but it was full of maggots and began to smell. So Moses was angry with them. So if they didn't obey God's instructions completely, they will be no better off. In fact, they will be worse off. And so here's another principle for us. We are to be content with what we have, with what we need. We are not to be greedy. We're not to be out to get as much as we can. In our world today, God has provided enough for everyone's need. But we know the way it is, don't we? In some places, people have far more than they need. That's true even in this country, even though there are people in our own country who are struggling at the moment with the financial crisis. In general, in our country, we have more than we need. But there are people in some parts of the world that have less. Now, this is a massive subject. I realize that. And I don't particularly want to talk at great length about it this evening. But all I would say is this, that we should be supportive of those who are trying to make sure that the amount that people have is fairly distributed. There are mission organizations, there are Christian agencies who are seeking to help in this way. Yes, they take the gospel of Jesus, and that is so, so important. That's more important than anything, isn't it, that people hear the gospel of Jesus. But also, there are those who are seeking practically to make sure that there is enough for people. And even in our own areas, as I said, even though that we are better off than many, there are still people who are struggling. And there are Christians that we know in this area who are working for the likes of Christians Against Poverty, who work for the food banks and so on. But the important thing for us is that we are not to be greedy, not to hoard things for ourselves. God says we are to have enough for what we need. Proverbs 30, verses 7 to 9. Two things I ask of you, Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I might have too much and disown you and say, who is my Lord? Or I may become poor and steal, and so dishonor the name of my God. And so, here we have God's response to the people's grumbling. He provided as much as they needed, and he provided them with instructions that they were to make sure that they observed the Sabbath, the day of rest, and that they were not to be greedy. And God wanted them to listen to what he was saying. And so, again, as we're going through what we're going through, what is God saying to us? How does God want us to live in the middle of what we're going through? Even as he provides. Let's look at this Bible. Let's look at this word. Let's see what God wants us to do. But thirdly, we see that Moses and Aaron, as it were, got it. Moses and Aaron understood what God was saying. Now, there's a phrase we use today, isn't it? When somebody understands things properly, somebody comes alongside us and they empathize with us in some way, we say, oh yes, they've got it. And Moses and Aaron here got it. They got exactly what God was doing. They didn't join in with the grumbling of the people. They listened to God. But they didn't just listen. They understood what God was saying. And they understood what was really, really important. Verse 6 tells us, Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, in the evening you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. And in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, because he's heard your grumbling against him. And so they realized, Moses and Aaron realized, that all this was God showing who he was. God showing that he was the one who provided. God showing that he was the one who provided their needs. And God showing something of his glory. Yes, he provided food for them because he knew they needed food. He gave them instructions for their own good. But what God wanted in the end was that people would acknowledge him for who he is and give the glory to him. And they would do that by listening to what he was saying. And so Moses and Aaron understood that this was more than just God providing. This was God saying, I want that relationship with you. I want you to acknowledge me. And by and large, the people got it. Most people did understand that. As I say, verse 17, the Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much, some gathered little. As I say, a few people did their own thing, but by and large, the people understood. But in general, the people at this stage started to acknowledge God. And here's something for us as well this evening as we're here. God wants us to listen to him and obey him. But what he wants us to acknowledge is this. As we go through all that we're going through, we are to acknowledge that it is all for his glory. It's not easy to see that, is it? If we're going through a tough time, if we're wanting to listen to what God is saying to us through that tough time, it's often not easy. But what God wants is this. He wants us to see him. See, he is the one who provides, and give him the glory. And so we need to ask for God's help to do that. We need to ask for the Holy Spirit to help us. We need to go to God and say, Lord, please help me to see that in the middle of all that I'm going through, you are in it and using it for your glory. Billy Bray, the Cornish preacher in the 19th century, was one of those people who was always enthusing about the Lord. He certainly got it. He went through all sorts of difficulties and trials in his own life, but he was somebody who was always giving God the glory. He was always praising God. There's one occasion when a passerby stopped to object because he was dancing and shouting and singing to God. And here is what Billy Bray said. If you were to put me in a barrel, I would shout glory through the bunghole. What an attitude that is. Even being put into a barrel, even being put through all sorts of difficulty, glory. So let's ask that we will get it. We will realize what God is doing in our lives. Yes, for his glory, and we will give him the praise, even though the circumstances of our life may be difficult. We can ask him that he would help us to give him glory in it. And so what we have here is a real life situation. God's people in the desert, in need. They had no food. So they grumbled and complained. God answers them by instructing and providing what they need and saying to them he wants them to realize it's for his glory. But you know, to help us to understand all of this, we can look to God through Jesus, can't we? Let's think of him. Let's think of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's think of all that he went through. Particularly as Jesus suffered and died. Jesus did not grumble and complain when he went to the cross. He willingly went. Even on the in the garden on the night before he went to the cross. He went to his Father and was honest. He knew how enormous what he was going to do was. If it is possible, let this cup pass from me. But he was able to say to his Father, he was able to say, not my will, but yours be done. Yes, Jesus truly got it. As he took the consequences for the things that we have done wrong upon himself, he got that what he was doing was for the glory of God. God was glorified in the suffering of Jesus. And God will also, let me say this, be glorified as we're going through difficulties as well. So let's come before God honestly this evening. I wonder, are you in need this? Are you going through a difficult time this evening? Are you need to ask the Lord for something? Well, instead of grumbling to him, put your trust in him. And yes, he will instruct you. He will say to you, yes, as you trust in me, I need you to do some things. But let's see that it's all for his glory. Let's live our lives above all that we want to give him the glory. Let's come to him honestly this evening. Let's acknowledge that we need him, so that we can understand what it is he is saying to us. And then with the help of the Holy Spirit, we will then be able to give him all the glory. Even as we go through tough times. Even as we go through difficult times. Let's this evening come to the Lord and pray that he would help us to trust him. Whatever the circumstances that we are going through. Let's pray.